How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Here you are in a pretty messy place. Why do you do it?
Because this is my passion, and I believe this is what God is calling me to do. That was me, 25 years ago. I was one of those little boys with no hope.
All we talk about with faith is how different we are. Mine's good, yours bad, mine says this, yours says that. And in truth, in their basic cores, if practiced correctly, a lot of faiths are pretty similar. They believe in something a little bigger than themselves and being good to other people.
Luther said, to take no pleasure in assertions is not the mark of a Christian heart. Indeed, one must delight in assertions to be a Christian at all. Take away assertion and you take away Christianity.
Moms in Ohio love issues, etc.
Mom!
I was not aware that you could actually do this. You could procure abortion pills over the internet. I guess you can get anything over the internet now, but should you be able to get abortion pills over the internet, that becomes one more step, as if we aren't enough steps removed from responsible, and it's hard for me to call it medicine because abortion is in no sense whatsoever the practice of medicine, and yet just for the sake of argument, let's say one more step removed in the responsible practice of medicine. Arizona's doing something about it. We'll find out what that's all about here in just a few minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon, April the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. We'll talk about an Arizona law that bans the distribution of abortion pills over the internet. We'll also get her thoughts on the largest drop in the U.S. birth rate in 30 years, the largest two-year drop. A little bit later, the defunding of Planned Parenthood is underway, a big, slow beginning, but something of a beginning. Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America will be our guest to bring us the latest there. Then Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about media coverage of religious freedom in China. Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio. We get it in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well. What in the world is telemedicine?
Well, I gather that that's a term that refers to the practice of ordering drugs that are ordinarily prescription-type drugs, or just ordering them over the phone, or either over the phone or through the internet. I think that's what it's generally referring to, Todd.
And in the case of abortion pills, I mean, I have a hard time calling that medicine, but in the case of abortion pills, apparently in Arizona, you could do this until recently.
Well, I think you can do it as far, I don't know, I think you can do it anywhere. My impression from the story that we're talking about is that Arizona put a stop to it, but that it's widespread elsewhere. Now, I could be mistaken about that. You know, it's just, I'm not a doctor, I'm not following these details like that, but it, you know, it really does seem odd that you would give something over the internet that has potentially dangerous side effects the way that the abortion pill does. You know, there have been cases of people having hemorrhaging or having problems and so on, and not to mention the fact that it can be very traumatic for a woman to see the little fetus pass. You know, you need some human contact in this thing, for crying out loud, you know. So I would agree with you that this is not really medicine. This isn't responsible health care, because that's not really how you normally treat a patient. You know, normally you want to have some kind of human touch, some kind of real connection with your patient before you prescribe something that's momentous.
So what has Arizona done to at least curtail this form of making abortion available?
I think they tried. I think what they did is they banned internet sales of these abortion drugs. I think that's what they did. Now, it seems to me they did a couple of other things as well, but that's the thing that is most germane here. So it's not like you can't get the morning after pill, or are you whatever it is? You can tell I'm not a doctor. You can't get. It's not that you can't get that stuff. You just can't get it on the internet. You have to actually go to a doctor, or talk to a doctor, or go to a pharmacist. You know, you have to actually have some connection, some contact with some medical personnel. I think that's the point of the thing.
This is a perennial problem when it comes to the availability of abortion. For some reason, abortion, unlike, and we're told that it's just like any other procedure,
yes,
and it shouldn't be, you know, singled out any more than any other medical procedure, and yet trying to regulate it, be it surgical abortions or in this case drug-induced abortions, seems very difficult. The proponents of abortion don't want that kind of regulation.
If it were just a regular medical procedure, it would be regulated. It would be much more regulated than it is now, right? I mean, it would be wrapped around with protocols and so on, and not just from the state, not just from the government, but from medical practice. And what I mean by that, Todd, is that all drugs and procedures have potential risks associated with them and have potential hazards associated with them, side effects and so on. And usually what you do in responsible medicine is you're aware of the side effects, and you tell the patient, you know, look, this particular medication is not a good fit for you because you have a past history of this or that, you know, and so, you know, we should come up with another plan for you to deal with your problem. That's what responsible medicine is, you know, that's just a cornerstone of doing good medicine. But where abortion is concerned, the risks associated with abortion, nobody even wants to talk about them. The Planned Parenthood line is that there aren't any risks whatsoever. Then when somebody pops up and says, well, gee, there is this risk of people becoming depressed in the 5 years following the procedure, there is an elevated risk of depression, they turn around and say, well, that's just for people who were going to be depressed anyway. To which you would say then finally, well, gosh, if you have a past history of depression, that's exactly when your doctor should be intervening and saying, you know, abortion is counterindicated for you in your situation. As a medical matter, you're putting yourself at elevated risk for depression, given that you have a past history of this, or you have a family history of it, or whatever it might be. We should come up with some other solution to your problem other than have a surgical abortion or a medical abortion. So, but we don't talk like that. You know, the doctors don't talk like that. And I wonder in my mind whether this isn't part of the reason that a lot of doctors don't like doing abortions. That, you know, that one of the big complaints that the abortion lobby has is that they can't find enough doctors to do this, and that's why they have to make everybody take abortion training in medical school, and why some states are trying to make people say that, yes, they'll perform abortions, that you know, they're trying to eliminate conscience protection. And I think the problem is that there are just a lot of doctors who think it's kind of a, you know, a business they don't really want to be part of. They're not all radical Catholics or whatever, but they just don't want to be part of it, you know, because it's really not being handled just like other medical procedures. It's being handled like something else, but it's not exactly just like other medical procedures and medications.
Another issue, briefly here, with regard to the Arizona law, is informed consent, and that is, the Arizona law would require a woman having an abortion to get an ultrasound exam 1 hour before the abortion is performed, and at least given the opportunity, she doesn't have to take it, but she needs to be given the opportunity to see the ultrasound results and to hear the baby's heartbeat beforehand. Why is this, just in terms of just how you treat women under any circumstances, why is this a good thing?
Well, you know, really, the advent of ultrasound was really a game changer in the debate over abortion, because when women started being able to see their little baby in the womb, they could no longer dismiss it as just a blob of tissue. You know, they just that line of the abortion lobby just suddenly rang very, very hollow, you know. Because you can actually, at very early age, you can see little, you can make out little features, and there are all kinds of stories of, you know, people seeing the baby move or seeing the baby, you know, suck its thumb, or all these kind of little things that you can see, and the mother's heart is moved to see that, yeah, this is not just a blob of tissue. And so I think it just simply is a matter of informed consent to tell people that it's a blob of tissue, and therefore it's okay. That is to draw the conclusion for the patient already, and that's not what you normally do. Normally what you do is you present the information and you let them draw the conclusion. So picturing the contents of the womb to see whether it's a blob of tissue or something else, that's what informed consent really should be about. That allows the woman herself to say, wait a second, I'm going to decide whether this is a blob of tissue or whether that's my baby, and I'm going to decide what I'm going to do about it. And having that image can be very powerful for people because it's the truth. It's not like there's some little pro-life genie sitting back there altering the pictures. What you see on an ultrasound is what really is, in fact, inside your womb, and that's what makes it a very powerful experience for people.
Well, then, with only about 30 seconds, I want your thoughts on what's being reported from the National Center for Health Statistics, that we've experienced the largest drop in a two-year period since the 1970s in the U.S. birth rate recently. About 30 seconds or a minute to respond to that.
Well, it's a sad and sobering story. The only exception to that is women over 40 who are probably, not having their babies naturally. They're probably having a lot of artificial help because that's the only age group where birth rates did not fall. And the birth rate for women ages 20 to 24 was the lowest ever recorded for that age group, and it had a 9% drop in the 2 years that you're talking about. So what's happening is that women in their peak childbearing years, ages 20 to 24, are not having babies, and women who are over 40, which is, you know, kind of past the due date, they're the ones who are having babies with a whole lot of artificial help. So if you think about it, what we're doing is transferring motherhood out of the time when nature readies us for it and moves it into a place that nature is not really ready for it, and spending a lot of money in the process to make it possible for the older moms to become moms.
Dr. Jennifer Robag-Morse, thank you very much for being our guest.
Oh, you're very welcome. Always a pleasure.
You will find out more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we'll talk about the ongoing plan to defund Planned Parenthood with Wendy Wright. What does God's Word teach about prayer, the Holy Spirit, baptism, angels and demons, the Lord's Supper, creation, marriage and family, predestination, and the end times? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Lutheran Difference by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, The Lutheran Difference.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.